Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby. Live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips. This is Liberty Roundtable live for, what is it, October 24th in the year of our Lord, 2018. Hour two of two. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio first hour. We talked about immigration big time. Who's launched this caravan invasion of America? Sam Bushman provides solutions. Check it out. It'll be up on archive or on demand after the show. But Donald Trump says he's going to cut off or reduce foreign aid. I commend him for that. We got to get rid of the carrot in America. Anyway, I don't believe 7,000 people just decided to walk to America just kind of spontaneously. It's all a lie. Homeland Security even warning of cartels, drug cartels involved. And there's evidence that Americans are funding the caravan, says Judicial Watch and others. Obama even urging Africans when he went to Africa a couple of years ago. He urged Africans to stay in their homeland. He said, you know what? We don't want you to leave your homeland and create a brain drain. So even Barack agrees that we need to stop these people. But now let's talk about another top issue. Security of America is one critical issue, but pro-life. The whole purpose of government is to protect life, liberty, and property. Headline says, court rules unborn baby a person. Puts Roe in crosshairs, writes WorldNet Daily. And Matt Staver of Liberty Council is chiming in too, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. He sends a letter. He says, last week in a fetal homicide case decided by the Alabama Supreme Court, Justice Tom Parker urged the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn the 1973 Roe v. Wade abortion decision, as it is a constitutional aberration that hinders the state's ability to protect the God-given respect and dignity of unborn human life. There's a growing chorus, Matt Staver continues, of voices urging the Supreme Court to overrule its abortion decisions. Liberty Counsel is a staunch defender of the sanctity of life and a relentless opponent of Roe v. Wade. I guess that's basically the bottom line, right, Sam? From him? There's more, but all I'm saying is...
Yeah, he has a ton there, that's for sure. And the point is, I think that Liberty Counsel and WorldNet Daily, in my opinion, two of the greatest news organizations, and I guess you could say, you know, Liberty Counsel isn't necessarily a news organization, but I'm just saying these two partners, again, this is where Liberty Roundtable shines, in my opinion. It's not about us, Kurt. It's about us bringing as many groups working on solutions as we possibly can to the table. And this is an example of that point, if you will. And I'm just telling you, these guys have highlighted the fact that a court ruled a baby as a person. Now, we've talked about Rand Paul saying we got to overturn Roe versus Wade. And Rand Paul, a senator, is basically saying, hey, this is the way we can overturn this. It all depends on how you define a person. And in Roe versus Wade, they didn't decide that, Kurt. And they basically said, we're not at liberty to decide that. But now that we have more modern imaging technology, now that we have more knowledge about what's really going on, the courts are starting to say, hey, you know what? A baby is a person. And on that alone, Kurt, it's enough. If we the people back Congress, if we the people back some of the judges getting it right for a change, this is our opportunity to change it, Kurt. That's our chance.
Good point, Sam. Yep, that's right.
Now, I would say that Donald's far from perfect. Chris called last hour and highlighted that reality, and I think he's right. But at the same time, I would bring up this, Kurt, and say this. What president in our lifetime has been more willing to stand up for pro-life than President Trump. And so as far from perfect as the president is, and as far from perfect as I am and you are, Kurt, and all of us, hey, yeah. Are we going to allow Donald Trump to provide some leadership here? Are we going to give them the chance to truly make good on the pro-life agenda here? Are we the people going to really double down, triple down, quadruple down in our pro-life efforts? And I think this is a narrow window of opportunity of a lifetime, Kurt. I think Matt Staver and WorldNet Daily and many others are right on this. And this is an issue that I've been making the biggest deal out of since the Republicans took back Congress. And all we've had is more and more and more, quote, supposed pro-lifers elected and put in place and appointed and whatever you want to say, with advice and consent from the Senate put in place, whatever terms you want to use. This is the opportunity we've been waiting for. The question is, will we seize the day, Kurt?
Yeah, that's a great point, Sam. Good question.
My prayer is, you know, far from perfect as I am and everybody else in this mess, my prayer is that we do.
Yeah.
And I know it's a long shot.
To protect life, and that's wherever it is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a critical discussion point, and I think there's a window of opportunity. Anything else from the article from Time to Overturn Roe versus Wade? It's time, folks. Anything else from that column of Matt Staver, that email we got that's critical here?
You know, at least to me, one of the things to bring up about this, and I don't see much more from Matt, yet. Hey, the fact is he's been working on it for years, and, he continues to battle. But when you think about, the simple idea that we act as if, like, for example, here close to us lately, Sam, there was a young woman that was shot and killed. And people are all quite concerned about that. And yet the same people.
And hold on, rightly so, by the way, Kurt.
Yes, that's right. And yet the same people, many of them, don't even lift a finger or are concerned one bit about what this individual was 21 years old, by the way, that that 21 years before, if they had had their way, she would have never even been born. And the fact is, it's life either way, and we've got to defend it and protect it, whether we're talking about old people that they want to euthanize, or we're talking about babies in the womb, or anybody else.
Life, especially the people in the prime of life, right?
Yeah, good point.
When I say especially, I don't really mean them over them. I just mean that's usually kind of a middle part of the spectrum we don't focus on too much, is the reason I say especially. We need to kind of highlight that. Whether it's suicide, shootings, abortion, any premature death to us is a bad thing, Kurt.
Yep, good point.
Or, as some would say, whether you never get the chance for life. But that would suggest that a baby doesn't have life. See, I say that it does. So you got to be careful not to get caught in that trap is the whole point. Anyway, our prayers are with the pro-life efforts. We'll do everything we can to further it. And I just wish we had money to make more pro-life commercials. I mean, it's just time and money, Kurt. I've created two of them the best I can. It's just hard to eke out time for these things. It takes a long time to create them. I think to create those two commercials took me about a day. You'd say, well, Sam, you're not very good at that audio editing. Buddy, you got to go find the content first.
Yeah.
And then you got to find the content that's usable, because a lot of the content isn't usable. It's not good audio, or there's crowd noise in the background, things that just aren't. There's a lot of comments on pro-life that just aren't long enough for a commercial. So you got to find the perfect content before you can even build the commercials. Right? And so all I'm telling you is it takes a long time, people. And then, hey, there's a plenty of cost to run them all the time, too. Now, I'm not complaining about that cost. I'm just telling you it's easier said than done is the point. Anyway, court rules unborn baby a person, puts Roe in the crosshairs. WND.com, good for them for their report on the facts on this matter. And good for Liberty Counsel to jump through that reality check. They've watched it too and said, hey, now it's time to overturn Roe versus Wade. Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel, LC.org. We couldn't have said it better ourselves. What can we do to help, I would ask both organizations, Kurt?
Yeah, and one other thing I'll give you, ladies and gentlemen, so you understand our views when it comes to this whole life thing. This was said recently in our church's general conference by a man who was previously, before he was a church leader, he was on the Supreme Court in Utah. His name is Dallin H. Oaks, and he says, this is one paragraph, and to me it, covers this so people can understand where we stand. He says, we are beloved children of a heavenly Father who has taught us that maleness and femaleness, marriage between a man and a woman, and the bearing and nurturing of children are all essential to his great plan of happiness. Our positions on these fundamentals frequently provoke opposition to the church. We consider that inevitable. Opposition is part of the plan, and Satan's most strenuous opposition is directed at whatever is most important to God's plan. There's a little bit more, but that's pretty much,
Yeah, you got to get to the rest, because the whole discussion is pro-life, and there's a pro-life piece in there you haven't got to yet. So we'll do it when we come back. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Call is being transferred to the listening ear. Listening professionals dedicated to hearing you.
Hello, listening ear. Who am I listening to?
Carrie, but I was calling my mom.
Yes, you were, but your mom was so busy she felt it was important for you to have someone who could completely focus on listening to you and you alone. So she subscribed to our service. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Where to start? Well, I can listen to school issues like science projects. I can listen to boy problems, although that's an extra $3 per call because of the emotional drain on me. How about we start with how you wish you had made cheerleader?
I didn't try out for cheerleader.
This isn't Mary?
Carrie. I'm Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
There is no substitute for a loving parent. And when you really listen, love is what they'll hear. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, Sam and Kurt breaking it down just for you, ladies and gentlemen. So Kurt was in the middle of a quote from a leader of the Church of Jesus Christ that literally is talking about our understanding, our belief system, and that, hey, there's one man, one woman marriage ordained of God, that, you know what, having children is a blessing from God, and these things are fundamental to God's plan and our understanding of God's plan, and there will be opposition. That's a given. Expect it, if you will. And the quote continues, Kurt.
Yeah, he says, mortal life is sacred to us. Our commitment to God's plan requires us, underline that, to oppose abortion and euthanasia. Some are troubled by some of our church's positions on marriage and children. Our knowledge of God's revealed plan of salvation requires us to oppose current social and legal pressures to retreat from traditional marriage and to make changes that confuse or alter gender or homogenize the differences between men and women. We know that the relationships, identities, and functions of men and women are essential to accomplish God's great plan. So, you know, there's one more part here just so you can understand. He says, in our view, the ultimate treasures on earth and in heaven are our children and our posterity. So, you know, with that viewpoint, it's very difficult to, you know, see why we should, quote, tolerate abortion or the killing of, you know, taking of any life. Right, Sam?
Amen. I would go forward and say it's more than very difficult. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, right. What I mean is that there's just no middle ground.
Impossible is very, very difficult.
Now, that doesn't mean we should be mean and hostile and violent to people who believe in abortion or that even people who perform abortions.
Good point.
Okay, that doesn't mean we need to treat them, you know, wrongfully. In other words, Steve Voss sings a great song about this called Somebody's Going to Die Today. And it basically talks about this guy wants to stop abortion, so he blows up the clinic.
Yeah, it kills other people.
And that's not the answer. That's not the way we go about our solutions. Right. The way we go about our solutions, in my personal opinion,
is the way the Prince of Peace did.
Is we teach about Jesus Christ, we teach about obedience to the commandments of God, and we teach how to peacefully live together, one with another, teaching correct principles and letting people govern themselves. That's kind of how we, you know, start and roll with it. All right, moving to the next piece here that I think is directly related to the topics we've had, the pro-life topics, Kurt, and the immigration issue. You know, how are we going to handle 10,000 immigrants when we can't even handle the homeless among us right now? It's kind of an interesting question to bring up. And there's a headline that says, City, we can't solve homelessness, and we won't let you solve it either. I kid you not, that's a headline. And basically, the city is says to a shelter, send the homeless back on the streets. The city council refuses to give permission to a rescue center who already has a waiting list. What do you say to that, Kurt? This story is very interesting. I emailed you the details on it because it's just so fascinating. This is where we see our solutions would be churches and charitable organizations and nonprofits and private groups and kind neighbors. And we would help with a lot of this. But you know what? The government's can't solve it. They steal more and more and more of our taxpayers on the altar of solving it, but they never get it done. But now they're literally hostily challenging people who are good, honest, private charitable organizations trying to work on it. And they're literally, their biggest problem is not even helping the homeless now. It's dealing with the out of control government's response, Kurt.
Yep. And we've seen this so many times, but here's one other example of it. This is in Akron, Ohio. And the headline from WorldNet Daily says, City to Shelter, Send Homeless Back on the Streets. A private businessman with a building in downtown Akron saw the needs of the local homeless community. Sage Lewis set up tents on his property and converted the first floor of the building to a private shelter where the homeless charity now provides food, a community day center, showers, laundry, clothing, computers, and social services. There's a waiting list for the shelter. So when the city council, the article continues, refused to give permission for the operation to exist, essentially sending the homeless back to the streets, Lewis went to court. You know, here's a quote from him. He says, or this is from Jeff Rose. He's a senior attorney for the Institute for Justice, which is representing the shelter. He said, America has a long tradition of private charities using private property to help those in need. Sage has brought new thinking to the table and is helping dozens of vulnerable people get off the streets and get their lives back on track. That's this guy named Sage Lewis. The lawyer continues, sheltering the neediest is a legitimate use of private property that the government cannot stop without good reason, and there's no such reason here. The lawsuit against the city and Summit County Court of Common Pleas, quote, seeks to vindicate three different rights protected by the Ohio Constitution: property rights, due process rights, and the right to seek and obtain safety. The organization continues explaining. It says it is irrational for the city to cast the homeless back into the streets, doing them real harm in order to advance the minuscule public benefits of prohibiting people from sleeping at a commercial property. Akron's homeless have the right to seek and obtain refuge on private property with the express permission of the owner. The case began earlier this year when government officials evicted from a public park a group of homeless men and women who had set up tents in a forested area. Lewis had befriended some members of the community and decided he would let them set up tents in the backyard of his business. This was an auctioneering house that he had. Its neighbors include a tire store, a fire station, a church, and low-income apartments. However, government to the rescue. Akron officials said he could continue to help only if he got a conditional use permit. But when he applied, guess what? Yeah, city officials turned him down. Let's see. He says, what we've created is a new way of providing homeless services, and it allows the residents to help their peers and integrate back into society. That's what he said in a statement released by his lawyers.
I don't even know how to respond to this, Kurt. I support them and going to the courts. This is an example. We're not really for lawsuits. But in this case, the city's got to be stopped, Kurt. They're literally unable to help people. It's not the proper role of the city. And they're literally standing in the way from good people doing good things, Kurt. All on this, quote, zoning, or you can't have someone sleep at a commercial location, or all on these, quote, regulatory technicalities that are just out of control, Kurt.
Well, you're exactly right, Sam. And, you know, one of the biggest issues that's not brought up in this story is the government doesn't want competition. And they view themselves as the only provider of these kind of services. And that these individuals who are in need of these services are their clients. And so many times they want to grow their business, if you will, and their importance to society by saying, hey, we're the providers of those things. And so they don't like competition. Here's one more little
unfortunately, Kurt, I say you're spot on that. It's a tragic thing.
They say, we are providing a private sector alternative to homelessness. We are private citizens on private land spending private money through a private charity to take care of those most in need of help. This work needs to be done today, but the city is trying to stop it, which is why we are joining with the Institute of Justice to challenge this injustice.
Amen to that.
And
by the way,
so many times.
One other point before the end of this segment, Kurt, is this. Psst, heads up. Don't talk too loudly about this. I bet those private people believe in the G word, Kurt. And if they bring up G-O-D, God, then that's probably why they're really getting shut down. And that's, I bet you $1,000 is the untold piece of this story. These people believe in God, and they actually believe God's above government, Kurt. And I'm convinced that when you dig into these stories, you'll find out that stuff's at the heart of it. Because if these people were promoting pornography and atheism or government, great, you know, then I bet you they wouldn't be getting attacked and shut down. I bet they'd be given kind of the, you know, smile and a nod, go ahead kind of an idea. I could be wrong. But I'm telling you, whenever you dig into these things, whenever there's a God, family, and country element in something, whenever there's a true agenda here, you find out it gets shut down. Whenever the agenda is not pure and true, then it's allowed to prosper. Sadly true, but I'm just telling you, I bet the God factor's there somewhere. And I know this, when we want to help the homeless, the first thing we can do is turn to God in prayer for guidance of how we should carry out these charitable efforts. And so I don't know if that's part of it because the story doesn't say, but I'm predicting there's an element there. Just my experienced guess. The U.S. Secret Service is in the news. We'll talk about it. Sam and Kurt, coming up.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, Sam and Kurt. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Well, that's right, Sam. Looks like the CNBC boys have the headline, Feds investigating suspicious packages sent to the Clintons and Barack Obama. The U.S. Secret
and
Service
George Soros
said that,
as reported yesterday, right?
Yeah, good point. And this one's not talking about them. I guess it's, you know, connected or whatever. Anyway, the Secret Service said that potential explosive devices were sent to former President Barack Obama and ex-presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. A law enforcement official told the New York Times that the explosive device sent to the Clintons' home in Chappaqua, New York, was found by a technician who screens mail for the former president and his family. The Secret Service said in a statement that the package addressed to Obama was intercepted by agency personnel in Washington, D.C. So Kevin Bruninger, I guess that's how you say his name, it's a big long one, is the author of this story. Sam?
Yeah, and my response to this is, again, we said that, you know what, we disagree with George Soros, we disagree with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. No doubt about it, politically, we're just 180 degrees from one another. However, we would never want harm to come to any of the three of them. Shame on those who would do this. Violence, we double down on, is never the answer. I agree that protection, self, you know, defense and protection sometimes is necessary. But for the most part, you know, violence is just not justified, Kurt, especially over political issues. And I say especially because, you know what, America's genius is we can agree to have our own opinions and we can disagree on those opinions. But we support the peaceful transfer of power and we support the peaceful relationship that we have in our disagreements. And so all I'm saying is, Kurt, this is an example where we really need to stand up here. What happens is the conservatives won't usually defend Hillary and George Soros and Barack Obama because it's not what they do. They don't want, but I say we do. We want to defend them and protect them, and I don't want the loss of life for any of those three either. Now, I hope that our kindness and our love and our true defense of pro-life and nonviolence, I hope that it's not lost on these people. I hope they finally go, you know what? Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby over at Liberty Roundtable, they're actually fair and open-minded and honest and consistent in their delivery of their points. They must really believe them. And then we can agree to disagree, fine. Or maybe they'll go, you know what? There's something to this. But we need to have civility in America. And I'm saddened to hear that there's a threat of violence to any of these people, Kurt.
Very good point, Sam. Yeah.
Now, is that crazy?
I agree.
No. Are we allowed to say all that?
I think so.
Because one thing I see in America, Kurt, sadly, is that we seem to think if those guys aren't our friends or we disagree with them politically, we can never defend them or never admit when they're right or never take their side on something or never protect or defend them. And I disagree with that narrative. Why can't we? I don't want violence to happen to me, and I don't want violence to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want violence to happen to Gosnell.
Wow.
You
want
justice,
though. You want him to pay for his crimes, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Justice for all, baby.
You know, I just think that it's important to understand that we look at things based on principle. And that's why Chris Collar, I understand his point about, you know what, Barack might not be our friend. But I don't know his heart, Kurt, and I can't judge that.
The president, you mean?
Yeah, what did I say?
You said Barack, but
the president.
I think you mean President
and Barack,
Trump.
Both of them.
Yeah.
But I can't judge their hearts. But what I can do is I can look at an issue and I can say if I believe they're doing good or bad. And I can support, you know, lend my support to good. Okay, and in this case, I'm defending Barack.
Yeah.
Why? Because I think it's right based on principle to do so. That's why. You know what? As much as I disagree with Barack, his life is as important as everyone else's. Now, I know the mainstream press wants you to believe his life matters more than the rest because he's black, but I just think he's an American. Well, I hope he's an American anyway. But I think, you know, his life matters as much as everybody else's. What do you think, Kurt?
Imagine that, Sam. His life matters as much as everybody else's.
Wow. Not more, though, Kurt.
No, all the same.
Yes, sir. As children of God.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, I think that's critical to understand, to believe in, to focus on. And so our prayers are that the Secret Service could protect these people, and our prayers are that nobody gets hurt, Kurt. Nobody.
Yeah.
And to those who are doing these things, shame on you. Stop it. All right. White Americans, they say, Kurt, as the mainstream press tries to divide on race once again. White Americans gain the most from Donald Trump's tax cuts, writes the New York Times. Do you want to respond to this?
It's like you said. It's just, you know, flipping the bick in the middle of the everybody with an open gas can. You know, it's just a problem. Yeah.
Wow.
But that's what they like. The media wants to have these kind of things to stir up the people. And, you know, I think the standard media, the New York Times types, you know?
Yes. Anyway, I bring it up because I don't want to talk about white Americans gain the most. I don't want that divide card in there. What I want to know is this. Is everyone gaining from the tax cut, Kurt? And if they are, wonderful. Wonderful news. If they're not, I'd like to, you know, work on Tax Cut 2.0 and make sure that it applies to everybody.
Yep. Good point.
What do you think of that? I mean, we can basically say, look, if we did, you know, reward some people and not others, let's make sure everybody gets in on the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You okay with that?
Yes, I am.
All right. Did I ever tell you the story about my daughter when we were on vacation and how a seagull came and stole her hot dog, Kurt?
Don't remember that, Sam.
Well, anyway, so my daughter's chilling. She's 10. She was 9 at the time, and we got hot dogs because it's kind of iconic, and we're in the middle of San Francisco, and we got these hot dogs, and we're walking around eating these hot dogs, and all of a sudden, this seagull literally dives down and grabs the hot dog out of my daughter's hand. And my daughter was holding the bun, but the hot dog was gone. And my daughter melted down and cried because the seagull stole her hot dog and all that kind of stuff. And it was like, wow, these birds are getting aggressive because people feed them all the time. They shouldn't feed them in the first place. But anyway, they get aggressive when they get fed because they get, you know, dependent. You know what I mean, Kurt? Kind of like Americans that are on welfare. They get aggressive when you take away their hot dog. See what I mean? Anyway, or when you say they can't steal from you anymore. Nevertheless, I bring this up not just for a personal family experience, but the personal family experience kind of paves the way for this headline here. A man accused of kicking a seagull when the seagull tried to eat his cheeseburger at New Hampshire Beach got fined. $124, buddy.
Now, here's one thing. I'm going to ask you this simple question. What if the guy showed up with a shotgun and started shooting seagulls? Now, I'll tell you what,
buddy.
This guy'd be...
We can murder babies, but you got to protect the seagulls.
That's right. Good point.
And so I don't understand why this guy got fined $120-something. I wanted to kick the seagull that stole my daughter's hot dog, too.
Yep.
I had to go back, Kurt, and get my daughter another hot dog.
Yeah, and then protect it very carefully from the... invading seagulls.
Oh, yeah. In fact, we made her wait till we got to the car so she could eat it.
Wow.
You know, it's a sad tale oftentimes, isn't it? I mean, it's rough.
Mm-hmm.
But this poor guy literally got fined $124 over this, Kurt. All right, Kurt wants to talk about the Department of Homeland Security and gang members, huh, Kurt?
Well, let's see. So the headline from Art Moore at WorldNet Daily is a little bit more on the migrant caravan. He says DHS, which is the Department of Homeland Security, as you said, gang members, Middle Easterners in caravan. And they say... It can confirm that gang members and males from the Middle East and Asia are in the caravan headed for the United States that began in Honduras. The spokesman there, Tyler Holton, said there are individuals within the caravan who are gang members or have significant criminal histories. Citizens of countries outside Central America, including countries in the Middle East, Africa, South Asia, and elsewhere, are currently traveling through Mexico toward the U.S., he said.
So gang members and Middle Easterners involved, huh? See, now that's all the more reason we should take my advice from the last hour about how to handle this, huh?
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133.
Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, I mentioned we're going to talk about Quebec, and we are. But before we do so, we talked about DHS saying gang members and Middle Easterners and stuff like that are all involved in the caravan coming our way. Just makes my points more poignant from last hour. However, Invasion USA, Mike Pence speaking out, Kurt.
Yep, that's right, Sam. And what you've got there, Mike Pence is basically saying, that according to Breitbart, Honduran President Juan Orlando Hernandez told Mike Pence, the vice president, that the migrant caravan marching toward the U.S.-Mexico border is financed by Venezuela. Pence made the allegation while defending President Trump's assertion that Middle Easterners make up a part of the 7,000-strong caravan. And, that's the bottom line there. Venezuela getting back. They say they're trying to do that to challenge our sovereignty and challenge our border.
Now, the Honduran president said this?
Yeah, to Mike Pence. They were chatting, I guess.
So I got a question. What's the Honduran president doing to stop this?
I don't see any of that in there. I don't know, Sam.
So there's so many people being accused of funding this thing that I'm having a hard time. Is it Americans? Is it the drug cartels? Is it Venezuela? Or might there be multiple funding sources, Kurt?
Well, I don't know, Sam. Wouldn't surprise me, though.
Well, all the more reason to vet these countries, as I pointed out last hour, to say, are you a friend or a foe of America? Will you literally peacefully let our troops come into your country and break up these caravans, find out really what agendas are driven by who, get to the bottom of where the funding comes from, and get to the bottom of who's in the caravans, of what supplies or weapons or whatever they have, to spend time with them and vet them and find out, you know what, are there some good people that really need help from a humanitarian point of view? Are there people that are bad actors that really want to do America harm? You know, what's the real agenda? What better way than to let our hardened military troops go in and figure all that out? To help these countries, and whichever these countries, you know, are. I don't understand, though, Venezuela funding it. I thought Venezuela didn't have any money, Kurt.
Good point.
So
Sam,
it's interesting. It's
probably
I don't really
money
get it.
We sent them.
Well, it's probably money we sent them where, the elite have plenty of money, but the people are suffering. You see that in wicked governments all over the world, right? So anyway, I'm not here to challenge Mike Pence. I think there's some validity, but the point that I'm getting at is whether it be drug cartels, whether it be violent gangs, whether it be Middle Easterners that are terrorists, whether it be governments that are hostile, that are communist-style governments funding it. I mean, look, where would Venezuela get its ties and its money? China? Our most favored nation trading partner? Okay, so, you know, where does North Korea, the ones we're negotiating with? Okay, where does this all end? And at some point, there's a disconnect here that people aren't really doubling down and focusing on, Kurt.
You know, and it's interesting to me, if you just basically replace the border and your country with your home, and you say, look, you know, those of you who want to just open up your home to anybody, just leave the doors off and then put a big sign that says, hey, you know, our home's available for your use anytime, anywhere.
Come on in, baby, take your coat off, make yourself at home.
You know, it's true, you could have a nice person that would come over and maybe do the dishes and clean up things, vacuum while they're there, maybe make things better. But you could have somebody that would literally come in and, well, rob and steal and burn the place down. You know, that's why we recommend you have some kind of controls there, both at your border and at your house.
Imagine that. Protecting oneself. All right, let's talk about the Quebec man, Kurt, in the news.
Yeah, Sam, I guess you had an invasion in Quebec. The headline from the CBC there, Quebec man ordered to foot vet bill after dog impregnates neighbor's chow chow. Subheadline, the dog named Bella underwent surgery to terminate her pregnancy, Canadian Press. This Quebec man, who's, they say, frisky husky, impregnated a neighbor's chow chow, has been ordered to pay about $800 in vet fees and court costs. I guess what happened, the judge Alain Trudel wrote that thanks to the husky's handiwork, Bella found herself with an unexpected pregnancy. The dog underwent surgery to terminate the pregnancy. What I find interesting, Sam, so they killed the little babies, killed the little puppies, and yet when I look at, you know, you'll be lucky to get a chow chow puppy for less than $1,000, or a Siberian husky pups for less than $350. So let's say you go and only get $200 a piece for those, and maybe you got five or six of them. Shoot, they'd have been ahead just having the puppies, but now no puppies.
Yeah, but you don't get it, Kurt.
Owner's got to. Yeah, I know.
Let me tell you why you don't get it. It's all about pro-death. It's all about murder. They love it. How much can you get? Not that I'm for selling people, but how much will people pay to adopt the child, Kurt?
Good point.
So I'm gonna, you know, and that's a lot more money than a chow pup. But your point's well taken on both counts. But the part you're missing is they love death, Kurt. They love murder and destruction.
That's right.
Right? And I mean, I hate to say that, but I think that's really the discussion point. I mean, it's crazy.
That's sad to say.
All right. Anyway, poor Quebec man. You know, it's just crazy talk everywhere. All right, Kurt, we want to end on a couple of good news pieces. A 10-minute walk is in the news.
Well, yeah, Sam, it looks like... you know, you've got a better life if you do a little bit of walking. The headline, even a 10-minute walk may be good for the brain. Subheadline, 10 minutes of mild exercise can immediately alter how certainly parts of the brain communicate and coordinate with one another and improve memory function.
Now, I would like to change the word they say alter, though, a little bit. And I understand their point, but I would say this improve is what I would call it, though, Kurt.
Yeah,
alter's okay. Kind of a mid, you know, I mean, not a positive term exactly, right? But I'm saying it'll improve how the brain functions, right?
Well, that's what I'd say. I'd agree.
So I only changed that word not to be nitpicky because it's a good story, but just because I want to be clear about, you know, drugs alter your mind. Not in a good way, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so I want to bring up this is a positive thing. Okay, even a 10-minute walk may be good for the brain. Look, walking and exercise improves the brain's ability to function properly and thus improving memory and et cetera. But this is only one of the many, many benefits too, Kurt.
Yep, that's a great point, Sam. And looks like a pretty
number cool story.
Of people are picking up the story.
Are you allowed to even... you know, focus on that good news piece?
Well, I guess we could do that. Yeah.
They might call us racist if we did that. I bet they'll do another study that says it benefits white people more than it does everybody else. But see, they're just crazy. But the good news is that, hey, everybody, you know, if you walk, it's good for you. And for those who can't walk, hey, Let's find some other exercise that might be able to help. But all I'm telling you is good news, let's embrace it where we can find it. And what if you go on this 10-minute walk, Kurt, and your brain's doing better, and then you get on your faster internet? What if you did that?
Wow. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Looks like they say they've got a, super way to move things forward on the internet. I'm just trying to find, oh, there it is. It's called Twisted Fiber. They say Twisted Fiber optic light breakthrough could make internet 100 times faster. Subheadline, researchers say they have developed tiny readers that can detect information in light spirals. Do you want to enlighten us about this, Sam?
Well, just know that they continue to create new technologies to make data movement faster. And it's complicated, and I haven't been able to study this story because I just saw your headline like 5 minutes ago. But I will say this, they're always making new technological advances, and I think they're wonderful. And I would say that, you know what? If we can have faster internet for cheaper, that seems to me like a pretty good deal, Kurt.
Yeah, that's like an improvement, right?
Yeah, and we just tried to do two good news stories in a row. I thought we were on a roll, and then Kurt sent me a bad news one, so I'm going to save that for tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. You think it's bad enough, ladies and gentlemen, to try to kick a bird? Or you think it's bad enough to try to help the homeless or something like that? Well, don't be cutting your own trees down, folks, because if you do that, it can get rough fast. You know, this is the kind of stuff where they just, I get that we want to care for the earth. Okay, I get the environmental concern that, look, we don't all want to live in a horrible world that's just, you know, toxic and everything else. The point is a good one. You know, that God made us stewards of the earth, and we should care for it and protect it and be cognizant of it and do, you know, do right by it, if you will. And I support that general principle from God. But whenever government gets involved, it's a pit one group against another. It's a somehow I'm the enemy of everything, and if I were just to die, it would be better. Or, you know, I need to be regulated to death to where somehow I can't participate in the solutions. Or, in other words, government always sets itself up as the decision maker and sets itself up as the rule maker and then sets all us all up as the problem. And that's kind of my problem with the way government always deals with this stuff. I get the point.
Yep.
I just disagree with, I don't know what you want to say, how they go about it or what they're, we agree that the point's well taken, but their conclusions are always the problem. I'll give you an example. Let's go to solar panel and have clean energy, not do that horrible coal. But then what they want to do is rape my wallet to subsidize the solar industry. I'm for solar. I'm against their subsidizations. If they can build a better mousetrap and solar to my door to take us off coal, by all means, bring it. But don't rape my wallet in the process. And don't do it by force. And don't pit one citizen against another over it. You know, the guy that embraces solar too much is a bad guy because he's going to basically break down the grid. We got to fine him for doing it. But yet, hey, we're going to subsidize. That's our goal. But yet we're going to, okay, it's all that confusion that drives me up a wall. It's like, wait, which is it? Do you want me on solar or not? If you do, don't penalize me. If you're struggling to build the grid with too much coal, why don't you let me put power onto the power plant and pay me with my solar panels? Well, because if we did that, then the grid might not last. And if we did that, you know, the power company couldn't exist. And, well, then why are you subsidizing it if that's all true? Okay, what I mean is whenever they get involved, it just makes no sense. It pits people against one another. It never turns out well. So I would merely say the key here is to get government out of it. To let people build better mouse traps to our door, to move the new technologies, to take care of the earth. That's all wonderful news. I think we got to end on that, that we want good news everywhere. And we the people can participate in the solutions. And God's children on the earth is not the problem. God's children on the earth was, by the way, intended by the almighty author of our liberty. Let's just be clear on that one point. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. 2 hours in the can. Donate to the Widow's Mite Radio Network today, would you please? LibertyRoundtable.com and LibertyNewsRadio.com. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America. Hey, thanks.